Well, good morning again. You know, George Carlin said, "When I just discovered the meaning of life, they changed it." You ever feel that way? Yeah, I know I have, okay? And so for the next few Sundays, we're going to be talking about, when I'm speaking, being in transition. And it's a process or journey created by change. But what is change? And we get it mixed up sometimes, because you see, we say change the tire, that means fix the tire. Change the light bulb, that means replace the light bulb. And so sometimes we get change mixed up with the idea of fixing something. But let me say, as we go through transition, there's nothing wrong with you. You are fine the way you are. We are just growing as we move through that time, and growth can be challenging. Growth can bring up in each of us ideas of joy or sadness. Sometimes we feel resistance, other times we feel acceptance. Sometimes we feel a loss of opportunity or great opportunity. We feel stress or stress release during this time. And we feel bondage or freedom. All of us, as long as we are breathing, I believe, are in bondage to something. That's why we're still alive. That's why we're still working on it. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we're brought up in such a way to be in bondage to certain things. And what we have to do is decide which of those are important and which of those are not important. And so when we go through transition, that's what we learn to do. You see, the question is, can I cope? Can I deal with transition? And Harold Wilson said, "He who rejects change is the architect of delay. The only human institute which rejects progress is the cemetery." Let me say that again. He who rejects change is the architect of decay. The only human institution which rejects progress is the cemetery. Yeah, aha. Yes, that's right. This is kind of corny, but my daddy used to say, when we ride by a cemetery, they're dying to go there. I think I was about 18 when I finally understood what he was saying. I was a slow learner, okay? But anyway, as we look at this idea of transition, we understand and we recognize that there's always change going on that is absolutely necessary in order for us to do it. And one of the things about change, let's go to the next. Oh, I got the slide thing. Just a second, guys. I'll catch up with myself. All right, there we go. One of the things about change is that we go through stages of transition. Most people think that we start off with a new beginning, but that's not the way transition works, not in our lives. What we have to do is first move through an ending to something in our lives. Let go of that ending. Then we move into what we call the void. That's kind of a fun place to be. Okay? Yeah, you've been there. And then we, through the void, we find light. And when we find the light, we begin to have that new beginning. But you see, we have to prepare ourselves for that. And this is true individually, and it's true in organizations. When a company brings in a new president, I'll guarantee you their employees, especially the vice presidents, who find out that they're in transition and are very concerned about that. When a church loses their minister, and I don't mean loses, but the minister resigns, such as what's happened with you, there is a transition going on. I mean, the staff, for example, and I'm not picking on anybody, they're wonderful, but they have to get used to me. And that's difficult at times, my wife tells me. And so, you know, I understand this idea of going through endings. But as we go through endings, what we find is that there are four things that most of us will experience when we're going through an ending. You see, we don't want to let go of the ending. We're comfortable. And boy, when we're comfortable, change is the last thing I want in my life. Everything is really wonderful. I know I can depend on certain things and certain people. And now all of a sudden, I'm wondering. I'm concerned. And that means that I am in the transition of letting go and ending what was. That doesn't mean that we don't forget it or that we should forget it. It doesn't mean that we don't appreciate. It just means we are clearing the way for a new beginning. And in clearing that way for a new beginning, what we do is we go through four stages, I think all of us probably in some form or fashion go through. And the first one is we are impacted by an ending through disengagement. To engage means to embrace. To engage means to be a part of. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves disengaged, wondering what's going on. Why do things feel different? What am I experiencing inside of me? Is it good or is it bad? Is it going to really mess things up in my life, or am I going to grow from it? And so we go through this idea, and what we have to do is disengage from what was in the past. We have to accept the past as it was and move forward so that we can find a new meaning and a new opportunity in our lives. Then the second thing is, there it is, disidentification. You know, I don't know about you, but, and I'll tell my story in a few minutes, but anyway, in my past, what has happened is I have identification. I know who I am, how I'm supposed to act, what I have, and how successful I have been, and my ego gets in the way, and all those kind of things go on, right? For most of us. So what happens is that when I go through a transition, when something changes, I have to disidentify with who I am. And that is painful and scary. But all of us have that opportunity, and I call it an opportunity, to look at ourselves anew, to look in through spirit, first of all, to understand that there is something better coming up. There is a new opportunity and a new way of being in spirit as we grow spiritually. You see, change is all about spiritual growth, spiritual development. And so as I turn to the spiritual aspect of my beingness, then I can go through these and not be scared to death. The next one here is the idea of disenchantment. Now, so I'm feeling, you know, this idea of disidentification, disorientation. I'll get to that in a second. I'm feeling really confused. And in that confusion, what I have to do to understand that that disenchantment means I'm not happy with the things things are in the moment. That's all it means. I'm just not happy with the way things are in the moment. And that can be a big stressor to carry around. So I'm not trying to make this small. It's important to go through this disenchantment, but to understand you are spirit. You are in oneness with all that is around you and with that which created you. And understanding that gives me the ability to re-identify myself in a new way as a child of God. And so we go through this thing of disenchantment, and then we finally get to the point that we are disoriented. How many people have felt disoriented in life? Oh, all the rest of you are cool. Certainly. A move, a divorce, loss of a job, loss of a relationship, or feeling like you've lost a relationship. These are not pleasant things. These hurt. And we feel disoriented because we're not in the familiar, and we have to figure out, how do I bring myself back into a sense of not being disoriented, but instead of understanding where I am, who I am, and how I'm supposed to show up. And so these four things here can get in our way and can, in essence, impact our ending. Now remember, ending is the beginning of transition. It's the ending. And we have to go through that ending in order to move forward. I'd like to share this morning my story. For the first 50 years of my life, everything I touched seemed to turn to gold. It all worked perfectly. That built my ego really high and big, okay? And I was captured in that ego and didn't even realize it. I started a business, and I gave part of the business away and being good to the employees. And so anyway, the business grew, and within about a seven-year period, we went from two employees to 300 employees. And we went to six divisions. And it was really a very successful business as far as Richard was concerned. And what happened is I started to identify with the business, not Richard. I started to identify with what people expected, not what Richard needed. I started to identify with money because I had more than enough. I started to identify and be attached to all of those things, and that created this image of Richard Bunch that I really liked and I was comfortable in. And then some problems started to brew in the business, and what I decided to do is I would just sell my business. And so I sold my business, thinking that was the right step, and it was for me. I wouldn't be up here today if I hadn't. And so what happened was is that I went through all of these things that I was talking about. You know, I sold my home and moved back to Virginia, thinking that a new start would be perfect. But what I found out was there was more challenge because I had not gone through the ending of my business. So what I did is I spent eight years trying to bring it all back, saying, I've got the talent, I've got the experience, I can do this. And everything I touched went the opposite way. I was here in Virginia Beach for a while, and we had a business here. And the business should have done phenomenal. I probably had 5-6 of the top 10 salesmen in the Virginia area working together as a team. Some of you will remember Neil Ware, Elizabeth's husband. Yeah? We worked together for 20 years. And yet, it seemed like nobody could put 2 and 2 together to get 4. We were getting 3 and 5, but not 4. And it was really confusing because these are guys who knock the ball out of the park when it comes to sales, and we weren't knocking the ball out of the park. We struggled. And in that struggle, what we found is a great deal of stress, which was creating the issue, was a great deal of ego because people expected more of themselves, and then they fell down somewhat and felt something was wrong. And anyway, so eventually, it just didn't work. And that's when I moved to Texas, to El Paso, Texas, of all places. I was going to go to Santa Fe, but our daughter lived in El Paso. So we went to El Paso, Texas, and we were there for about a year, and I was, you know, getting along and didn't have a great amount of resources. The way I like to say it is I spent 30 years creating wealth and 3 years losing it all, you know? Tell me, will that change your opinion of yourself just a little? Will it make you question some things? Certainly. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Because in El Paso, Texas, Vicki, my wife, took me to a Unity Church. I stopped playing golf to go to a Unity Church. Yeah, that's right. It was hard. I got to tell you, some friends and I would go over to Mexico, which was just across the border, of course, and it was safe then, and we'd play golf there. And the golf course was spectacular. Everything was perfect, and I loved it, and every Sunday morning I looked forward to it. And every Sunday at noon, Vicki and the other ladies would meet the guys at a local bar in Juarez at the marketplace. And that was pretty nice. I was beginning to kind of, you know, relax a little bit, thinking everything's going to be okay. And then, I want to tell you the story how it worked. I was just beginning to break through in El Paso in my business. Now, I went back to the same business again, of course, thinking I could make it happen. And it happened, but it didn't happen as well as I thought. And so one day I was in a meeting bringing two firms together. And this was going to be like phenomenal. And I'm sitting in the meeting, and I had an out-of-body experience. Now, you've got to understand, I didn't believe in out-of-body experiences. But here I am having one. And what happened is all of a sudden, I was up in the corner of the room looking down at everybody in the meeting, including myself. And I'm saying, I'm not supposed to be here. Because you see, I joined Unity. I'm not supposed to be here. Unity needs someone. I'm going to go to work at Unity. So I said to the meeting, this is my last meeting with you. I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm going to change the direction of my life, and I'm going to go work at Unity. And they said, where? Of course. I said, Unity, it's a church. Oh, you are? Okay. So anyway, that's what I did. And this morning I was talking to Vicki a little bit about it, and she said, did they pay you when you first went there? I said, yeah, they paid me $16,000 a year. Now, folks, this was not 1960. This was 1997, the end of 97. $16,000, and I was used to making a lot more than that. But I took it because I felt called to do it, and it absolutely changed my life. That's when my life started to change, when the transition, I let go, finally, of the past. 8 years to let go of the past. I think I went through every emotion that you can actually feel. A great deal of stress. A great deal of stress on our marriage. And if I hadn't changed, I think I would have lost Vicki, which would have been the worst thing that could ever happen to me. And so as I went through that change, I ended up understanding that I needed to be in a new way, in a new direction, but I didn't know what it was. And you see, I had said for 20 years, I'll never be a minister. 25 years. Because I was a licensed Baptist minister for a number of years, and I stopped believing what they were teaching. And I said, no, ministry's not for me. Well, spirit within me had a different idea. And when I released those things I was holding from an ego standpoint, spirit said, this is where you belong. And I went there. And for a couple years, I continued to go through the void, if you would, in the transition, which we'll talk about next week. And as I did, I began to release the ending. And when I got through the void, and part of that 8 years was in the void, I was able to find myself, to re-identify with myself, to understand who I truly was, a spiritual being. Now, some people say we're human beings and spiritual beings, and I don't have a problem with that, but I happen to think we are spiritual beings having an experience in the human condition. That's a little different. That means spirit is in charge of my life, that I don't have to be human if I choose not to be. And most often, I do not choose to be human. I would rather be a spiritual being in action, taking the steps that are necessary to change lives, including my own, first. And so this is the story that I share with you, and I can tell you that everything through transition that takes place in a transition took place for me. I experienced it personally. But yet, you know, there is a way through and out. And when you realize that, the new beginning begins to settle in. The new beginning for me was going to ministerial school. I'd been spiritual leader for 5 years. Things went well at Unity of El Paso. And then I went to ministerial school. That's where my new beginning really took place. The other I call experimenting in those first 5 years as a Unity leader. I mean, when I gave my first message, I'd had one class, and it was called Lessons in Truth. One class. You think I knew what I was talking about? Nah. But I could make up a lot of good things, okay? And so anyway, we began to grow, and I began to grow. And so here's what I want to share with you this morning. Let me get out of here. Oops, Here we go. I got way ahead of myself. So how do we deal with an ending? And the first thing that we have to do is understand and recognize that we are holding on to the past. And how do you recognize that? Well, go back to the four things I talked about. You feel disoriented. You feel disengaged. You feel confused. You feel like, what's going on here? Life's not like it used to be. What can I do to change it? And so you go through that stage of understanding that you're holding on to the past. The second thing is you ask yourself, what is blocking the past? And from a unity standpoint, what is important to understand is that we have denials and affirmations. Now, a denial is how I bring up a core value, something within me that is no longer useful, that's getting in the way, it's blocking my progress. And when I understand that and bring it up, the wonderful thing that happens, which I call grace, is that it no longer has power over me. So I get rid of, in essence, the power that the past is holding over me. And as I do that, I then can affirm that I am in the right place at the right time, making the right decisions, because I'm being guided by Spirit. And that makes the difference. That says yes to life itself. And so as I do that, I learn to live in the now, as Eckhart Tolle said. Be in the now moment. Be in the now body. Don't be in the past, and don't be in the future. The now will create the future. So you don't have to do a great deal of planning unless once you figure out the future and you have to get ready for it. And then let go and to surrender to your higher self. Let go of the ego. Jesus said, ego, get behind me. He called it the devil, but that's what it is. Ego, get behind me. And when we get the ego behind us, we then are no longer slaves to the ego. We are in charge of the ego, and we're in charge of our lives. And so I let go and surrender to this higher self. And then the next thing that can happen is that I can welcome the void, which we'll talk about next week. So as we look at this whole process of transition, just remember that change is positive, but we don't want it. Isn't it interesting? We fight it, and it's very natural, because if what's working right this moment is working, then why should I change? And yet there's something inside calling you to make a change. Maybe it's a change in a job. Maybe it's a change in your life, a move somewhere. Maybe it is an opportunity to create new and better relationships. Maybe it's an opportunity to heal relationships that have gone astray. There are all kinds of opportunities, and we have to look at each one. Now, I want to share that going through this transition does not mean that it changes your whole life. You may have one part of your life that's working perfect, but another part that's saying, hey, let's do some change. I believe most of the times that's the spiritual part of our lives, where we have to step into Spirit, be Spirit, act as Spirit, and demonstrate as Spirit. And so next week we'll talk about the void, and how we move into that place where we're getting ready for a new beginning. Now, let's pray or meditate. So take a deep breath. Breathe in. Breathe out any stress. Breathe in love. Breathe out any anger. Breathe in truth with a capital T. And let go of the little truth that we declare. And as we do that this morning, we become in tune with ourselves. We recognize that each of us is in transition, that with everything there is an ending, and everything has a new beginning. It's the process that we go through in discovering that. And so this morning, we welcome change. We say, I am ready for change. I am open to change. I concentrate on change and the way I am living through it. And so take a moment to go into the silence and let come to you whatever needs to be, knowing that you are a catalyst for change. For change, you are ready to see an ending and to move forward in this transition we call life, to feel yourself, to allow yourself to be at peace, to guide yourself through the power of Spirit. And knowing that, we say, amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your